5 and 6.
Huh?
Hosea 4, 5 and 6. The Bible says, you stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected my knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. Strong words from a God, from a loving God. But, you know, he is a loving God. But we have to understand, he has law. He has laws. He has his ways. You know, see, we need to learn to position ourselves for the blessing. We can't just come in rumbling into church and walk how we want to walk and talk how we want to talk and expect God to just bless us because we come to church. He says, position yourself for the blessing. Go to Hebrews. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews 3:7. The word says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared in my anger, they will never enter my rest. Let's go to verse 13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today, Lord. Lord, help me to feed your sheep today, Father God. Give me strength for today, Father God. Just I ask you bless the church's fellowship, Lord, and your people, Lord, with your word today and their food after, Father God. Thank you for our church, Father God. I ask that you continue to help us to grow and help us to be an effective church, Lord. Give us the tools, Father God, and equip us, Lord Jesus, and stir us up, Father God, to do a greater work, Father God. Let us not just come to church, Father God. Let us be a people that do your work, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I you know, he says, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Speaking of the people, the kids, the children of Israel, where, you know, he brought them out of Egypt and he took them, he was taking them to the promised land, but they murmured and complained after they got set free and they had some walking to do and they were getting hungry. God gave them manna from heaven, a miraculous thing that they did not know. Then they started whining that they were thirsty, and Moses hit a rock, water came out of the rock, and so they got their water, and then they started getting sick of the manna from heaven, and oh, you know, man, we had it made back then. We had fish and fruits and vegetables, everything in Egypt. And they started complaining about the manna from heaven. You know, they started wishing. They started thinking it was better back then. Tontos. They thought life was better before God came in and freed us. You know how ignorant that is, somebody? I don't know all your stories, but if you're like me, I was hopeless when I came to Christ. Come on, somebody. I mean, my life was chaotic. I was like, man, you know, there's got to be something else in this life. Come on, somebody. And then God came in, showed me his ways, and my God, I ain't going back. No turning back, no turning back. You know, God showed us a way, and I'm not. All right, some of those times are fun, but I won't give none of that up for what I got going right now. Not one bit. Not one bit. You know, as a matter of fact, many of those friends and clowns I hung around with back then, I don't hang around with now. You know, I mean, good guys, good friends, but you know, I'm on a different route. You know, I'm on a different path. Somebody, I'm going up. Amen. You know, I mean, and as children of God, we should be prospering. We should be living in the blessings of God. Why aren't some of us living in the blessings of God? Because we're still hanging in the outskirts, in the back. You know, remember Numbers chapter 11. He said, "Let's go there. Let's go." I think I'm going to preach. I think I'm going to share that scripture on Father's Day. I didn't want to go there right now, but you know what? It's too good a scripture to let go by. Numbers 11, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then the fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. My gosh. In another version, it says he burned up those who were in the back. The fire burned up some of those that were following God from afar off. Remember? Remember Peter? Peter was the big apostle, and when Jesus got arrested and stuff, he was afar off. When they had Jesus tied and handcuffed and took him away, Jesus was sitting with the enemy, sitting by the campfire, warming himself up. You know, we too, we too can drift afar off, and we better watch it, because God's anger aroused as he sees these people complain. See, complainers don't get blessed. God's not gonna bless you because you're complaining, somebody. Man, you know, this walk is this. Pastor asked me to do this. This and that. This and that. You know, whatever, man. You know. I'm gonna say it, but I got in trouble when I was a Bible study leader. I got in trouble with my pastor. But you know what? I'm the pastor of this church, so I'm gonna say it. get over it. You know, this walk is hard. God never said, "Come follow me, this is an easy route." No. And nobody changed the world playing it safe. It's a hard walk. But as hard as the walk is, I stand here a blessed man, because my walk is tightened up, man. You know, life takes its hits on us, and the devil can sway us away, you know, but a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. Amen. I mean, shake yourself off and, you know, all right, come on, God. Let's do this again. You know? Right? I mean, there has to be a fight in us, man. You know? This walk, when we chose to follow Jesus, it was in the battle, man. It was in the battle. It wasn't the yellow brick road. It wasn't going to the land of Oz or nothing, somebody. My God. You know, let's go to the book of Judges. Talking about positions here. The book of Judges. God was speaking to me this morning when I was touching this up. The book of Judges, chapter 20, verse 20. Remember, I'm talking about being positioned to be blessed. And the people of Israel, they went around and around. Instead of going forward and keeping their focus, they went around and around the mountain because they kept complaining and just murmuring and complaining. And this verse, let's go 20, verse 20. Judges 20, verse 20 says, the Israelites went out to fight the Benjamites and took up battle positions against them at Gibeah. The Benjamites came out to Gibeah and cut down 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. But the Israelites encouraged one another and again took up their positions where they had stationed themselves the first day. The Israelites went up and went before the Lord until evening, and they inquired of the Lord. They said, shall we go up again to fight the Benjamites or follow Israelites? The Lord answered, go up against them. Then the Israelites drew near to Benjamin the second day. This time when the Benjamites came out of Gibeah to oppose them, they cut down another 18,000, all of them armed with swords. Now 40,000 have fallen. Then all the Israelites, the whole army, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was there with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, ministering before it. They asked, shall we go up again to fight the Benjamites, our follow Israelites, or not? The Lord responded, go, for tomorrow I will give them into your hands. I want to take a look at verse 20 again. The Israelites went out to fight the Benjamites and took up battle positions. In our walk with God, We come out and we learn to walk, you know. We learn to walk. We learn this walk a little, you know. We learn some language. We see how church is done a little, and that is our first place, right? That's our first fighting stance. See, and then the Israelites got beat down in that first charge, right? And then it says in verse 22, but the Israelites encouraged one another again and took up the positions where they had stationed themselves the first time. Woo, my gosh. Some of us are still trying to fight this fight the way we first started. You know, we think we learned the lingo. We think we got this down packed, and we're still fighting from when we first came in. We should have grown. should have grown and fight in a different way now, man. We should be more spiritually mature. We should have our prayers down. Thank you, Jesus. I heard you guys pray today. I was so blessed. So blessed. But you know what I mean? We need to change our battleground, man. You know? Man, come on. You know, 4 years walking with God and we're still fighting in the same position when we came into church. Huh? Still fighting the same foes, maybe the same temptations, the same trials. Come on, we need to grow so we can handle this stuff better, huh? I can't fight the devil where the devil hits now is not where he used to hit back then. You know, he sees me getting stronger, he's gonna come at me in a different way. And I got to be prepared and built up in God to take it. Amen? We got to be growing, man. Got to be growing. You know, we need to position ourselves, you know. Now, this time, Israel was a disobedient nation. You know, they prayed to God, though, Pastor. Did they pray wrong? Maybe all their hope wasn't all on God, but in their might and in their army. Huh? Remember, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it brings death. Woo, that should have spoke to some of y'all. There's a way that I think I'm doing this walk, but it's death, man. There's a way that seems right to a man. I'm doing all right, you know. You know, I'm doing all right. You know, things are going good. My lady settled down. You know, I'm working good now. You know, things are good. But you're spiritually dead because you're not going for more, man. You're not challenging yourself to get deeper. To know the Lord. Amen? Woo, that's hard. I had to say it though. We need to change our positions, man. We need to change our positions to be blessed. You're not getting blessed. You're not getting blessed. Because that's not a blessing. That's you getting your own way. Yeah, but things are going good. Yeah, it's not a blessing. It's you getting your own way. Woo, man. Yeah. But things seem to be going good. Yeah, according to you. You're not growing in God. Ouch, I know. See, it seemed God did not hear their prayer, but maybe it was God correcting a disobedient people through the tragic loss of 40,000 people. Huh? Come on, somebody, anybody here had tragic loss? I lost in life, man. You know, my God, if I had never touched drugs and alcohol, I'd be a pretty rich man right now. You know, I'd be well ahead of the game, you know, but the devil is a liar and he wants to keep you where you are from prospering, you know. I mean, the loss. The tragic loss, that's what God's trying to get your attention, man. It's not that he didn't hear your prayer and stuff. Sometimes he lets loss come in to get you your attention, you know? You know, maybe your home, maybe your car, maybe money spent on foolish things. We have to position ourselves. You know, one thing with the Israelites, though, that came out of this, they never gave up. They went up, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Lord, shall we go again? And he said, yeah. This time I'm going to give them into your hands. Amen? You know, as we go through the fight, tough times come to an end. Right? Tough times come to an end. Tough people keep going on. You know? We can't just falter like, I'm done, man. I'm done. There ain't no heart in that. You know? Let's go to 1 Chronicles 14. Anybody got the time? Tell what? Wow. Really? 1 Chronicles 14, verse 9. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of God, shall I go attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? The Lord answered him, go, I will deliver them into your hands. So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as water breaks out, God is broken out. God has broken out against my enemies by my hand. So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. Once more, the Philistines raided the valley. So David inquired of God again, and God answered him, do not go directly after them, but circle around them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the top of the poplar trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. We need to seek God, and then obey God, and then God will bless us. Amen. Seek God, obey God, and God will bless us. That's the secret. Ding, ding, ding. That's the secret to this walk, church. You know, many of us stop at obeying Him. You know, many of us aren't seeking Him. You can't seek God and have a foot in sin. God's not going to bless sin. No? Amen? We can't fight this walk one foot in church and one foot out in the world. No. You gotta be all out on God. When you see God, you need to want God. Woo, man. In fact, how did that quote go? In fact, those who love God need to desire Him first. You get that? Many of us say, but I love God. There needs to be a desire to have more of God. If you love God, you'll have a desire to seek Him more. Ooh, man, that's good. My God. You know? We don't just love God. Loving God makes you want more of God. Oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down. Oh, I got recording. Wanting, loving God makes you want more of God, man. You know? Amen? I'm not judging nobody. But when we love God, we'll want more of God in our life, man. And wanting more of God means I'm obeying God. I'm seeking God. I'm all about God. Right? Amen. In this walk with God, there are positions we have to take. One, I never came to church expecting God to bless me. You know why? I figured since I'm coming to church, I should be getting blessed. No, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. You know, my salvation was always enough for me because freedom was the best thing God could give me. Amen? I mean, I went to church because God set me free. That's why I went to, that's why I go to church. That's why I went in the first time. I mean, all out for God because I was set free, man. Because I saw the light. I heard the truth. And I said, man, and I believe the Bible. Says you'll be blessed if you walk in my ways. Man, I took that to heart, somebody. I took that to heart and I lived it. You know? I mean, fall, you know, I'm not gonna say I didn't fall anywhere, you know. Fall, drifted, whatever you want to call it, you know. But a righteous man gets back up, shakes himself off, and gets right with God again. Amen. That's tough, man. You know, but it's true. You know, it's tough. It's true. We have to. When you truly love God, you'll straighten out your act with God. You know, because you're the one He loves. You know, I am the one you love, man. You know, I know I'm not a perfect child, but I still make my father smile. Amen? God, that sounds a killer, huh? If you're coming to church expecting God to bless you, that's part of the reason why He's not blessing you. You know? Children don't ask their parents. Well, no, they do ask their parents to bless them, right? Wait a second. How am I trying to say that? Parents don't bless their children because they ask. Right? There you go. That's better. You know? They don't. Parents don't bless their children because they ask. They bless them because they're good children. Come on, somebody. That's an amen. You know? God wants us good. He wants us good. Why ain't I getting good? Because you're not in position to be blessed, man. Still dabbling around. You know? Got to get right with God and He'll bless. He'll pour the windows of heaven. Man, when those checks came to me, I felt like God opened the windows of heaven on me, man. I was like, oh my God, I said, Maria's gonna trip. She did. She'll shut up. I said, man, not even kidding. Not even kidding. Good children don't tell their parents to bless them. They're good, and then they bless them. Good children don't cuss out their parents. They obey their parents. Good children listen to their parents. If their parents say they shouldn't do it, they don't do it. So the first position to be blessed is that of a child. Amen? And we're to be what? Of God? Child of God. I'm a child of God. If you come and go from church and it didn't do anything to change you, you're not coming to church for God. Right? If all that gets you excited is a barbecue after church or something, somebody, that's not God's not the reason you're here. You know, I like church because, you know, you guys fellowship and do fun things and, you know, kick back and together. A new clique, somebody. You know, no, we're here for God. Amen. We need to position ourselves to hear from God. Let's go to 1 Kings 19:11. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out, and stood at the mouth of the cave. See, this is where this is talking about Elijah, where what's her name? Kirsten? Jezebel, yeah. Jezebel told him, after he killed, you know, 5,000 prophets, Jezebel says, mark my word, by tomorrow at this time, if you're not dead. And he took off, he's all scared. He just killed 4,000 dudes. And this woman's cursing him and threatening him, and he takes off. Come on, somebody, man, you know? God knew Elijah was depressed, and he knows when we're depressed. Elijah needed an encounter with God. He knew and obeyed God, but he needed an experience with God. Oh, God. Maybe you're in that position right now, church. Maybe you've been walking this walk. You've been coming to church. You've been doing good, but you need that extra thing, man. Position yourself. Position yourself to have an encounter with God. Nothing gets you to the next level than experience God Himself, man. You know? Nothing gets you to the next level except hearing God tell you to do so. Or telling you something, you know? Nothing moves you like that. An experience with God, a godly experience, that's what I say, you know? I mean, you know, my testimony, I was on the deck, sitting in a wheelchair, and I was like Elijah, crying. I was all bummed, you know? And then God said, feed my sheep. And I go, feed my sheep, you know. And then I saw a kid walk by and he was twisted up. I was like, dang, that dude's higher than a kite right now. And then feed my sheep. And I go, feed my sheep. And then from my dad's deck, I could see the laundromat and 9 dudes standing in front of it. God said, feed my sheep. He sort of yelled it at me. And I was like, wow, I heard God right now, man. I said, man, it changed my whole mood. I needed to tell my pastor, I need to start a Bible study in Piru. This is where it started, you know? I was like, man, my neighbor Danny takes care of the park. Hey, neighbor. Yeah, oh, no, I yelled at him because I don't know if Jackie was outside. Hey, Danny, come here. Danny came over. And I said, hey, I want to start a Bible study in the community center. You need that? He goes, when? I go, man, let me turn to my pastor, man, you know? And we set it up, and man, it just started rolling. And here we are today, praise the Lord, as a church. Amen? Yeah. But it starts with position. It starts with a position. A position of hearing from God. Amen? You know, you have to position yourself to be blessed, church. First, God showed him where he was, though. You know, it wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the fire. Earth, wind, and fire.
Reason, Father, I'm here.
Yeah. Whoa. Temperature's rising. I don't want to feel. Woo! Earth, wind, and fire's in the house, man. You know, too much music, man. You gotta get that out, man. How many times will we keep looking for him where he's not? Huh? We need to. He's not in the darkness. He's not in your will. He's not on a cross. He's living and he should be in you, somebody. Don't put him in your little prayer box, you know. God doesn't talk to you in all the busyness, you know. What am I saying? I'm saying he talks to you on a whim, just like me on the deck, you know. We can set aside those times to go to our prayer closet and pray to God, but if you want to really hear from God, be in a position in your walk that you talk and he talks to you. That's awesome. It's awesome when it happens like that, you know. So really our position is our walk. Be in position to be blessed. Be in a position to be blessed, church. Be in a position to hear from God. You know, when we're just loving Jesus, you know, he could speak something to you. And it's up to your position if you hear him or not. You know, many of us will hear something and just flies off. No, man. You hear. Oh, God. I'm going to say this. I mean, if I wasn't in my word and he said, feed my sheep, I'd be like, what? Feed my sheep? What? Who's talking to me? Go feed some sheep. You know? But I knew that was Peter. I knew he was telling me to teach, man. Now feed my sheep. I'm like, you know? But I was in position to do that. So he spoke that to me. You know what I mean? And then I started Bible studies. Amen? But we need to be in a position to hear from God. And it's not in all the business, and it's not in your will, and it's not in the world. You know? Right? It's not in the big old loud banging noises and stuff like that. It's a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper, man. That's it. You know? Run the race. You know? be obedient. You know, I know some of you heard that before. Obey me. And then you guys let it go out, whatever. Huh? He says, I don't know. But yeah, gentle whispers. You know? He speaks to us. He speaks to our heart. And our hearts know what's right and what's wrong. It's our rebellion and disobedience when we choose not to hear him. Right? I mean, I'm with you guys, man. I'm a human. I'm a man, you know. I hear him too, and man, God, I don't know. You know, but that's our position. We need to position ourselves to be blessed. You know? You need to be able to hear that gentle whisper. Our goal is to hear God in a crowd, above our worries, in the middle of chaos, above the enemy's accusations. You have to position yourself to hear that still small voice at any moment. Amen? When you're a child of God, even in the hustle and bustle of chaos, he can speak to you and strengthen you on that spot. You know? Don't fret him. And it gives you a certain strength. You know, a certain boldness comes over you. You know, whatever, man. You know, you can shine the chaos. Amen? You need to practice becoming still and doing what he says. The question is, how tired are you of being conquered instead of conquering somebody? Your faith demands action. Best way to start that is by studying the word. Because no hearing is no faith. Because faith come by hearing the word of God. You know, I know, very cliche, I said it a week or two ago. Very cliche, read your word, but my gosh, man, nothing's going to get you closer to God than knowing him. He is the word, the Bible said. He is the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. Right? Something like that. We must be familiar with his voice if we're going to recognize it, especially in a crisis. Now, I know it's not easy with a job, children, bills got to be paid, but how bad do you need direction? How bad do you want change? The third position to be blessed is in a position to battle. Right? Because the blessing is going to come if you don't fight for it. Huh? I mean, the blessing's there, but you got to do this, you got to do that, and it's up to you if you want to do it or not. You know? I got to go through this to get that. Yeah? Yeah. We got to roll up our sleeves, put our big boy, big girl chonies on and handle it. Somebody grow up, man. We got to grow up sometimes, huh? We got to grow up sometimes and walk it, you know. Position ourselves like the Israelites, you know. Remember how I started this? It's not the way we first came, you know. We need to grow. We need to grow. We need to grow and change our position from when we first came. We're 4 years different now. We can't be fighting the demon the way we did when we walked in. We won that battle. Come on, somebody, you guys are still here. You won that battle. But different demons are coming, am I right? Different demons are coming knocking at your door, in your head, in your heart. You need to change your battle position, man. You need to grow, study, get God in you, and then you'll get the blessings. Amen? Man, church. God is so good, church. God wants to bless us, man. We need to position ourselves to be blessed. Anybody here tired of not being blessed? Come on, somebody. I want to be blessed, man. That's one of the reasons why I come to church. I want to be blessed, God. Well, we got to position ourselves to be blessed. Amen. I got to run. 110. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.